Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1030. Walking the Snake from Ukraine to the United States and around the world. This is being recorded on October 30th of the year 2018. The title of the program, as has been the case with many program titles in relatively recent years, really for about two decades, refers to the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk. That is put out by National Vanguard Books. That is the publishing arm of the National Alliance, arguably the most important domestic American Nazi group. That same publishing house put out the Turner Diaries, the blueprint for the Nazi group, The Order, and for Timothy McVeigh and company in the Oklahoma City bombing and many others. There is also the book Hunter, which talks about a Nazi killer who kills black people, people of color, and interracial couples in particular. William Luther Pierce, the head of the National Alliance, made it very clear that Hunter, like his other books, is intended as an instructional book. It is intended basically to teach people how to do it. In the book, Serpent's Walk, which I believe is far more than just the novel it purports to be, the SS go underground at the end of World War II, which we know happened, utilizing in particular the Galen spy outfit. They build up their economic muscle, which we know they did in cooperation with the remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Organization, and ultimately they buy into the opinion forming media in the U.S., and using the opinion-forming media, they form the opinion, which becomes the prevalent point of view, that basically Hitler was a good guy, that the Holocaust never happened, and that the Nazis are good. Following a series of terrorist incidents involving weapons of mass destruction, martial law is declared, and the descendants of the SS who have infiltrated the military take over the U.S. I have been speaking about Serpent's Walk for a long time in connection with what has been taking place in Ukraine. To make a very long story very short, what the Russians have been saying about Ukraine is absolutely accurate. The government that has come to power there has at its national security core the OUNB successor organizations and the UPA. The OUNB was a Ukrainian fascist organization founded by Stefan Bandera and led during the war by Yaroslav Stetsko. Actually, the OUNB government was led by Yaroslav Stetsko, and its military contingent, the UPA, Ukrainian Partisan, or Ukrainian Insurgent Army, led by Roman Shukevich. The OUNB was inextricably linked with the Reinhard Galen Nazi spy outfit, which became it was basically the CIA's Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs, and ultimately became the de facto NATO organization, intelligence organization, and finally became the BND, the German Intelligence Service, which it is to this day. It was, in turn, the Galen outfit inextricably linked with the SS. Galen became the Third Reich's chief intelligence officer during the closing phase of the war, although never actually a declared member of the SS. His entire organization was under the control of the RSHA. That was the Third Reich body, headed up by Heinrich Himmler, the Reich Secretite Hauptamt, and that placed the Galen organization, or it made it, as basically an extension of the CIA, of the SS, excuse me, Freudian slip, actually. The late Colonel William Corson, a decorated U.S. Marine colonel who resigned his commission in protest over what was taking place in Vietnam. He felt that the prosecution of the war was out of control and that the American people were not being told what was really going on. He served as an advisor to the Church Committee's investigations of the intelligence community in the 1970s. He eventually published a book called The Armies of Ignorance. And in that book, he wrote basically that the Galen organization was nothing but a front for Odessa Nazis. It basically was, for all purposes, an extension of the SS. In turn, the Galen organization incorporated organizations like the OUNB from the Ukraine, the Iron Guard from Romania, the Croatian Ustashi, the Bulgarian National Front, and other Eastern European collaborationist organizations, which during the course of the Crusade for Freedom became part of the Republican Party. We have been examining over the years since the Maidan coup the fundamental perversion of World War II history under the Maidan coup government, and in turn how the West has dutifully fallen in line and is basically parroting the OUNB / UPA revisionist stance or position on Ukrainian fascism and the history of World War II. It is literally a manifestation of Serpent's Walk, in which the OUNB Nazis are whitewashed, turned into good guys, and people not only in Ukraine but outside of Ukraine are basically adhering to that line. As we will see later, there actually has been, I would hazard a guess, that there is more actual dissent from this position inside of Ukraine than outside, although very little of that has made it outside of Ukraine, where journalists are being suppressed, where the supposedly, quote, free press, unquote, in the West, the U.S. in particular, has absolutely shamefully refused to recognize what is going on and has instead adhered to the ludicrous conspiracy theory that is, quote, Russiagate, unquote, a psyop, if ever there was one. And if one takes the time to investigate it, a readily verifiable bald-faced lie. But that is more than our mainstream media will do. That is more than what NPR will do. Hell, that's more what Pacifica Radio and the other so-called alternative media will do. They are marching in lockstep, or perhaps we should say goose-step, with the OUNB. We are going to be once again examining the fundamental perversion of World War II history in Ukraine. And I want to call attention to the fact that many of the articles and posts that I will be excerpting in this program come from various Israeli and or Jewish publications. The other media outside of Israeli and or Jewish publications are really not covering this for the most part. Some are, most are not. And I also want to call attention to the fact that the Israeli government under Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party are remaining absolutely silent about this. That is an absolute disgrace. There is a reason for that at some point. I hope to update my coverage of the fascist element in the Zionist movement and in Israel. This is not to say that the Zionist movement is fascist or that Israel on the whole is, but the right wing of the Zionist movement is most assuredly fascist, having assumed the banner of Vladimir Yabotinsky, or Zeev Yabotinsky, as he called himself. He was the head of the Beitar. That is a fascist element within the Zionist movement. They worked with Mussolini, something that Yabotinsky made very clear was a matter of doctrine. They viewed Mussolini's invasion of Ethiopia as an affirmation of the superiority of white people over Africans. Yabotinsky himself was a deep racist and felt that Jews of European extraction were superior to those of Middle Eastern and African extraction. Yabotinsky's personal secretary and a pallbearer at his funeral was Benzion Netanyahu, the father of Benjamin Netanyahu. The Likud party, as we have seen in many programs, dispatched a representative to the late 90s Congress of the Alianza Nazionale, National Alliance, that is the successor to Mussolini's Fascisti, thereby keeping alive the tradition started by Vladimir Yabotinsky and the Beitar, who allied with and supported Mussolini. I would note that a number of responsible voices in Israel have been noting the sowing of the seeds of fascism. On Holocaust Remembrance Day in 2014, the head of the Israeli Air Force said that the same thing was happening in Israel that had happened in Europe during the 1930s. And unthinking Zionists cannot call him a self-hating Jew or an anti-Semite. We will update not only the fascist element in the Zionist movement, but the phenomenon of Mormon Jews. I have noted that Benjamin Netanyahu himself has strong connections to ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems. The Thyssen industrial interests are arguably the epicenter of the Bormann Flight Capital Organization. Again, we will update that when I talk about Bormann Jews. There is a post in the news and supplemental section that talks about much of this. However, Yabotinsky was a supporter of Simon Petliura, or Semyon Petliura, as you will see it. He was an early Ukrainian fascist and a murderous anti-Semite whose troops slaughtered tens of thousands of Jews in Ukraine in the post-World War I period. Finally, Petliura himself was assassinated by a Jew in Paris, and this was a fellow whose family had been massacred by Petliura's troops. The jury found him innocent because he was basically simply avenging the cold-blooded murder of his family by Petliura's forces. Yabotinsky was allied with Simon Petliura, and those who would, the apologists for Yabotinsky, and I have run into no shortage of those, and basically shove it as far as I'm concerned. You cannot, you absolutely cannot defend Yabotinsky against charges that he was a fascist. I really have to watch myself, because this is radio. When that expletive deleted, and just take the foulest backwashers from one's vocabulary and plug them in there, I cannot do that because this is radio. When Yabotinsky allied himself with an absolute anti-Semitic murderous pogromist like Simon Petliura, then you cannot claim that that guy, Yabotinsky that is, was anything other than a first-class prophylactic and a fascist prophylactic at that. He was a racist, did not feel in the Zionist state that he sought to found that workers should be allowed to strike. Does that sound corporatist? We will talk about that in programs to come. However, I would note that Benjamin Netanyahu, Benzion Netanyahu's son, and that Benzion Netanyahu, the father of Benjamin, was the personal secretary to Vladimir Yabotinsky, the ally of Simon Pietrura. He has basically said nothing about the horrendous things that are going on inside of Ukraine. Other Israeli publications and other Jewish publications and individual analysts have said things, but not Bibi, not Benjamin Netanyahu. And I would note that Ehud Barak, the most decorated war hero in the history of the Israeli military, a former defense minister, a former prime minister, said basically that, quote, the seeds of fascism have been sown in Israel. More about that in an upcoming program. I have already spoken about that in a news and supplemental post, a food for thought post. However, note what Benjamin Netanyahu is remaining silent about, and note what our other media, our so-called free press, is remaining silent about. The snake is walking in Ukraine. Serpent's Walk is taking place in Ukraine, and the Western media are falling in line, including not only our government, not only our mainstream media, but even most of our so-called progressive media as well. And it is as deeply alarming as it is absolutely outrageous. And believe me, if people think that I'm a little over the top about the Serpent's Walk, well, that is what is taking place now in front of your eyes. In witness to that, August 7th of 2018, the Israel National News had an article by Mordechai Shones, I'm going to pronounce it S-O-N-E-S, exhibition in Ukrainian parliament glorifies Nazi collaborators. And again, the Israeli government, Benjamin Netanyahu, the right wing of the Zionist movement in this country, and an awful lot of the Zionist movement around the world have remained absolutely silent about this. And I mean what I'm about to say absolutely literally. Those Israelis, those Jews, those Zionists who have remained silent about this are quite literally accessories after the fact in the Holocaust. They are accessories after the fact. They are as guilty as the murderers themselves, and they should be ashamed of themselves. But those who are without honor feel no shame. Once again, August 7, 2018, Israel National News, Mordechai Shones, exhibition in Ukrainian parliament glorifies Nazi collaborators. An exhibition inside the Ukrainian parliament, the Rada, last week glorified the leading Ukrainian Nazi collaborators of World War II. Information on the exhibition is available on the Ukraine parliament's official website in Ukrainian and Russian, but not on the Rada's English language website. The Ukrainian site says, quote, a special exhibition has been organized in the Parliament of Ukraine in Kiev. The dates of the exhibition, July 3rd through July 6th of 2018. The name of the exhibition, celebrating the restoration of the Ukrainian statehood June 30th, 1941 through 2018. Quote, the organizers of the exhibition are the All-Ukrainian Charitable Sobornost Foundation, that's capital S-O-B-O-R-N-I-S-T, the International Charitable Yaroslav Stetsko Foundation, and Member of Parliament Yuri Shukevich. Yaroslav Stetsko was the leader of Stefan Bandera's Organization of the Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, military brigades from 1968 until his death. A fervent Ukrainian Nazi collaborator in 1941 during the Nazi and German invasion of the Soviet Union, he was self-proclaimed temporary head of the ostensibly independent Ukrainian government declared by OUNB head Stefan Bandera. Stetsko was the head of the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations from its foundation until 1986, the year of his death. I'm going to interrupt briefly and read an excerpt from a Counterpunch article, a review of a book called Grigor Veselinsky-Lipchyz, Stefan Bandera, The Life and Afterlife of the Ukrainian Nationalist. Quoting here from that review, "Those terrible Russians were right. Although Bandera and his followers would later try to paint the alliance with the Third Reich as no more than, quote, tactical, unquote, an attempt to pit one totalitarian state against another, it was in fact deep-rooted and ideological. Bandera envisioned the Ukraine as a classical one-party state with himself in the role of Führer and expected that a new Ukraine would take its place under the Nazi umbrella, much as Josip Tiso's new fascist regime had in Slovakia." And again, there is a link to the Counterpunch article about that by Daniel Lazar. Continuing, Member of Parliament Yuri Shukevich is the octogenarian son of Roman Shukevich, who was one of the leaders of the infamous SS Nachtigall Battalion. SS Captain Roman Shukevich was awarded the Nazi Iron Cross for his, quote, exploits, unquote, during the Second World War in Ukraine, and was an Abwehr, German military intelligence agent, since 1926. Quote, "The fact that the son of a political leader of the SS Nachtigall Battalion and the bearer of the Nazi Iron Cross is the most respected, according to Ukrainian authorities, member of their parliament is telling all by itself," unquote, wrote co-founder and president of the Rogatchi Foundation, Dr. Ina Rogatchi, that's I-N-N-A, R-O-G-A-T-C-H-I. Again, quoting Dr. Rogatchi, he, Yuri Shukevich, spent many decades in the Soviet gulag and is clearly motivated against anything Russian. He even added a new Ukrainian name to his existing name of Yuri. But it is ridiculous to see how a personal vendetta has driven the policy of a country with a population of 45 million. Well, it's far more than that. It is simply the revision of history. His father, by the way, who led the Nachtigall Battalion in its extermination of the Lvov ghetto right after the Nazi invasion, we've spoken about that before. He was declared a hero of Ukraine, as was OUNB head Stefan Bandera, by Viktor Yushchenko, who came to power as a result of the Orange Revolution, so-called, and whose wife was the former Ekaterina Chumachenko, a top American OUNB functionary, and in charge of the deputy director of public of presidential liaison under Ronald Reagan. More about family Shukevich. Recognized in his country as a political heavyweight, Yuri Shukevich was asked recently by the very pro-governmental Kiev Post English language newspaper, quote, "Is it not too much glorification of the Ukrainian nationalists with the historically known record of their activities?" Unquote. The senior MP of the Ukrainian parliament responded, "It's a very complicated question, which has to be examined in full detail. But what about those Jews, those ones who were in Judenrat and who were after their own people in the ghettos?" Unquote. "I saw it," again quoting, "I saw it with my own eyes, but Jews don't like to talk about it." The reference is to the ghetto police who collaborated with the Germans. In my opinion, Netanyahu and his ilk, who remain silent about this, are worse than the Judenrat. They at least have the distance of history from which to make their evaluation and make their statements, and instead they have maintained a utterly damning silence. Again, they are literally accessories after the fact, not only to the Holocaust, but in particular the massacre of the Lvov ghetto, about which I have spoken many times. Continuing and skipping down. The Ukrainian parliamentary exhibition shows blown-up images from pro-Nazi newspapers dated June of 1941, heralding, quote, the act of establishing the Ukrainian state, unquote, after Nazi Germany occupied Ukraine. There are also enlarged images of documents issued by the Ukrainian Nazi collaborating bodies at the time and large portraits of the leading Ukrainian Nazi collaborators Bandera, Shukhevich, Stetsko, and Konovalets, K-O-N-O-V-A-L-E-T-Z, who are all presented as heroes. The colors of the exhibition are those of the current Ukrainian flag. The exhibition's stand features the following text from the Act of Establishing the Ukrainian State, dated June 30, 1941. The newly established Ukrainian state will closely cooperate with National Socialist Greater Germany under the leadership of its leader Adolf Hitler in building the new order in Europe and the world, unquote. This text has become the classic document on the Nazi character of Ukrainian nationalists and their bodies. At the exhibition's opening, current leaders of Ukraine's nationalistic organizations spoke, along with the openly pro-Nazi member of parliament Yuri Shukhevich, son of the SS captain and the commander of the Nachtigal division, Roman Shukhevich. By the way, I don't know if he actually became a member of the SS. His unit was under the control of the SS, the political officer, basically seeing to it they didn't get out of line. In the Lvov massacre was Theodor Oberlander, a very important fellow who in many ways midwifed the use of not only Ukrainians but various Muslim formations, Caucasian Muslims, you know, Muslims from the Caucasus in particular, and their forging into their inclusion into the Nazi military machine and their use by the underground Reich, CIA, and others after the war. Continuing. In his opening speech, Member of Parliament Yuri Shukhevich said, the fact of us having an independence today, in truth, is a huge cornerstone of the edifice today called the Ukrainian state. That huge cornerstone was laid into this edifice by this very struggle of the Ukrainian nationalists and by these very people, Ukrainian Nazi collaborators. And I beseech you all very much to visit this exhibition, which the Congress of the Ukrainian Nationalists is carrying on in commemoration of this date, unquote. And any other official source, the participation of the pro-Nazi Ukrainian Nationalist Congress is not mentioned. The official site of the Ukraine Parliament said, quote, in the beginning of the Second World War, OUN under Stefan Bandera's leadership started preparing for re-establishing Ukraine's independence. As the German Bolshevik War, the Nazi term for World War II used today by Ukraine's parliament, ignited, mobile OUN groups went to Ukraine to establish their Ukrainian power. Quote, on June 30th, Nachtigal Division under the command of Roman Shukhevich and OUN group under the command of Yaroslav Stetsko entered Lvov with their first aim of being announcing reestablishing Ukrainian statehood. The act of reestablishing Ukrainian statehood declared the independent policy of Ukraine. By it, it has been stated to the international community that the Ukrainian people is content neither with an imperial occupation nor with a communist one. It will continue its struggle to the end, unquote. Upon entering Lvov, the Nachtigal Division and OUN forces initiated and conducted the unprecedentedly horrific massacre of Lvov's Jews, known in history as the Lvov massacre of June and July of 1941, in which at least 7,000 Jews were barbarically murdered. The exhibition in Ukraine's parliament opened on July 3rd, the peak day of the horrendous Lvov massacre, one of the most terrible genocides of the 20th century. At the same time, a similar exhibition called Fighters for the Ukrainian State opened at the National History of Ukraine Museum in Kiev. That exhibition was ceremonially visited by Vice Prime Minister Vyacheslav Kirilenko, as stated on the Ukraine government's official website, who said, quote, "It is only relatively recently when we started to get familiar with history works, artworks celebrating the UPA, the Ukrainian Patriotic Army, Nazi collaborators and war criminals," in parentheses. "It was a long way for Ukraine to recognize the UPA, which is our common history." Dr. Bagachi responded to the exhibition, quote, "Just imagine that inside the Bundestag today there will be a non-critical exhibition demonstrating in full seriousness and with pride the Third Reich newspapers from 1941 on colorful big stands with captions commenting that these slogans, policies, events, documents, and people who perpetrated them were all, quote, assuring and strengthening Germany's independence on and statehood." Imagine the same thing at any parliament of any European country, or 90% of the countries worldwide, for that matter. Imagine this being done at the UN or UNESCO. Actually, I don't think they're going to have to wait all that long, because the serpent is being walked around the world. We're going to talk more about this. I want to note a number of things that we have spoken about in past programs and that have also been the focal point of various Food for Thought posts in the news and supplemental section. The Institute for National Memory under Volodymyr Vyatrovich is basically rewriting the history of World War II in Ukraine. The SS were good guys, the OUN were good guys, the UPA were good guys. It is a fundamental perversion of the history of World War II, and it is basically achieving the status of intellectual truth and political truth in Ukraine, and has gone unchallenged in Germany, in the U.S., by the so-called progressive media in this country for the most part, and our mainstream media are remaining absolutely silent about this. And again, by the way, so has the Israeli government. Other individual Jews and Israelis and Jewish publications are talking about it, but not the Israeli government. I will also note that the city of Lvov has initiated a Shukevich Fest, which coincides with the anniversary of the massacre of the Lvov Jews in that aforementioned Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall action that we talked about. This isn't Holocaust denial. This is Holocaust celebration. They are celebrating Roman Shukevich and his role as a key Nazi combatant and as a butcher. I will also note that there is a series of laws, the lustration laws, in Ukraine that makes it a crime to tell the truth about the OUNB and the UPA. It is said that to tell the truth, basically talk about the fact that they were Nazi collaborators, this is slandering or defaming the OUNB and the UPA. If I were to say what I have just said in Ukraine, I could be charged with a crime. I would note that there have been many other examples of the perversion of history in Ukraine. We have spoken about some of them in the written description for this program. They will be available presently. Links, that is, to those incidents will be available presently. Another article from Israel National News from August 16th of 2018. This also by Mordechai Shones, or S-O-N-E-S. Nazi collaborator greeting becomes official Ukraine Army salute. It reads in part, August 24th, Ukrainian Independence Day, will see a ceremony introducing the country's new official army salute as prescribed by Ukraine's presidential decree. Glory to Ukraine, glory to the heroes. We have consulted with the Minister of Defense, National Security and Defense Council. Government and I have decided that starting from August 24th, these words will be heard for the first time as part of the official military parade ceremony on the Independence Day of Ukraine, unquote. Petro Poroshenko was quoted saying on the Ukrainian president's official site, glory to Ukraine, glory to the heroes is a slogan of the UPA, the Ukrainian rebel army who fought on the side of the Nazis. The slogans, their origin and history are well known in Ukraine, although the president's website does not make mention of these. Present neo-Nazi Ukrainian military formations established by order of the Ukrainian authorities appropriated the slogan from the end of 2013 onward. Now, the Ukrainian Nazi collaborators' greeting will become the official salute in that country's army. Skipping down. The head of state also stated the new military greetings will be enshrined officially in the documents after the beginning of the Verkhovna Rada, that's the Ukrainian parliament's, regular session and parliament's corresponding decision, as it requires changes in particular to statutes of all armed forces of Ukraine's troops. But after completion of proper procedures, quote, these words and this greeting will become the official military greeting of the armed forces of Ukraine, unquote. And I would note that the U.S., even before Donald Trump, has been not only financing but sending weapons to and helping to train the Ukrainian armed forces. That was established under Obama and has ramped up exponentially under Donald Trump, with a fellow named Kurt, K-U-R-T, Volker, V-O-L-K-E-R, a quote, ex-unquote CIA officer, overseeing that operation. I would note the following. This is from the blog 112 International of October 4th of 2018. Ukraine's parliament approves glory to Ukraine, the new army chant. Again, glory to Ukraine, glory to heroes. And it isn't just the salute of the army. Skipping down. According to, also the law on the national police was amended. According to it, when the police officers are in line for the greeting of the leader or senior officer, when they hear the salute, glory to Ukraine, they reply, glory to heroes, unquote. The same actions take place during their parting. In other words, the official salute of the UPA is now not only the official salute of the Ukrainian army, financed in part, armed in part, and trained in part by the U.S., it also is now the official salute of the Ukrainian police. More about the Ukrainian police later. To give you an idea of how grotesque this is, I'm going to read about an incident that took place in Ukraine during the Second World War. There was something of a sub-war, one might call it, between the OUNB and UPA and the Polish nationals as well. Not just Jews, Russians, communists, etc., but Poles were on the receiving end of the OUN and UPA's genocidal activities. The Ukrainian-Polish War is, something of a sub-war, if one could coin a term, of the Second World War. We're going to read about a massacre that took place in Ukraine during World War II that is of the Polish residents of the city of Janowa Dolina. I may be mispronouncing that. That's J-A-N-O-W-A, second word D-O-L-I-N-A. I'm going to pronounce this Janowa Dolina. It may be mispronounced. I would note that there is a stone monument in that city commemorating the massacre, and the stone monument contains in the Cyrillic alphabet the salute of the UPA. Glory to Ukraine, glory to heroes. How grotesque that is. And this will not only shed light on the perversion of history in Ukraine, but on the real nature of the, quote, glory, unquote, of Ukraine and the, quote, glory, unquote, of the heroes. Well, if anything ever spoke for itself this well, from the Wikipedia entry on the Janowa Dolina massacre. The Janowa Dolina massacre took place on April 23rd, 1943, in the village of Janowa Dolina, now Bazaltove, B-A-Z-A-L-T-O-V-E, Ukraine, during the occupation of Poland in World War II. Before the Nazi-Soviet invasion of the Polish Second Republic, Janowa Dolina was a marble settlement built in the Kostopol County of the Volyn Voivodeship by workers of the Polish state basalt quarry. The town was inhabited by 2,500 people. Its name, which translates as the Jan's Valley in Polish, came from the Polish king Jan Kazimierz, K-A-Z-I-M-I-E-R-Z. I'm probably butchering many of these pronunciations, who reportedly, that is to say, Jan Kamiciert, reportedly hunted in the Volhynian forests and, after hunting, rested on the shore of the Horyn River. The town was destroyed during World War II by Ukrainian nationalists who murdered most of the Polish population, including women and children. Now, specifically of the, quote, glory, unquote, of Ukraine and the, quote, glory of those heroes, commemorated in what is now, it was a salute of the UPA, now the official salute of the Ukrainian army and the Ukrainian police, we read. In June of 1941, Nazi Germany attacked the Soviet Union. Janowa Dolina was added to the Reichskommissariat Ukraine, as Volhynia was the area of activity for various Ukrainian nationalist groups whose aim was to cleanse the land of Poles and Jews. The settlement's fate was inevitable. On the night of April 22nd and 23rd, 1943, which was Good Friday, the Ukrainians from the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, that's another name for the UPA, together with local peasants, attacked Janowa Dolina. Some 600 people, including children and the elderly, were brutally murdered. Most homes were burned to the ground and the settlement deserted. The perpetrators, commanded by Ivan Litvinchuk, that's L-Y-T-W-Y-N-C-H-U-K, a.k.a. Dubovy, D-U-B-O-W-Y, exercised rare cruelty. Poles, unprepared and caught by surprise, were hacked to death with axes, burned alive, and impaled, including children. The murderers did not spare anyone regardless of age and sex. The German garrison, numbering around 100 soldiers, did not act and remained in its barracks. After the first wave of murders, the Ukrainian nationalists started searching the hospital. They carried its Ukrainian patients away from the building, while Polish patients were burned alive. Dr. Alexander Bakanowski, B-A-K-I-N-O-W-S-K-I, together with his assistant Jan Borisovich, B-O-R-Y-S-O-W-I-C-Z, were hacked to death on the square in front of the hospital. In several cases, Ukrainians were murdered for trying to hide their Polish neighbors. Petro Mirchuk, the Ukrainian historian, counted several hundred massacred Poles, with only 8 UPA members killed. Again, that is the, quote, glory, unquote, of Ukraine and the heroes that is now commemorated in the salute of the Ukrainian army and the Ukrainian police. in past programs, particularly for the record 104 and for the record 1014. We have noted that the Vyjina militia, the civilian corps of the Nazi Azov battalion that has the Nazi swastika and the SS moon on their combat helmets, and the C-14 militia of the Svoboda Party, that is Combat 14, named after the 14 words of David Lane, a member of the American Nazi group The Order, which used the Turner Diaries published by National Vanguard Books as its blueprint, and about which we spoke in our last two programs. Combat 14 in Ukraine was named after the 14 words. And that militia, the Combat 14 militia of the Nazi Svoboda Party, and the Azov Battalion's National Druzhina militia have been given police powers in Ukraine, in the capital of Kiev and 31 other Ukrainian cities. And they have been doing exactly what one might expect. The Kharkov, that's a city in Ukraine, human rights groups of October 25th of 2018 had the following in their bulletin. This is by Halya, H-A-L-Y-A, Koynash, C-O-Y-N-A-S-H. We have spoken about these Nazi groups carrying on purges of Roma. Those are what are known as, quote, gypsies, unquote. And they were one of the groups facing Nazi extermination as well, and they have been persecuted in many European countries. Halya Koynash, writing for the Kharkov Human Rights Group of October 25th of 2018, neo-Nazi C-14 or Combat 14 vigilantes appear to work with Kiev police in the latest purge of Roma, it reads in part. Members of the neo-Nazi C-14 or Combat 14 movement, together with the Kiev Municipal Watch civil organization, which is led by Combat 14 activist Serhiy Serhiy Bondar, capital B-O-N-D-A-R, have carried out another raid driving Roma citizens out of the area around the southern railway station in Kiev. The raid does not appear to have been accompanied by shocking images of violence like some five others this year, but that is the only positive difference. What is much more disturbing is that the action appears to have been with the cooperation of the police and was essentially given glowing coverage on a national television news broadcast. This last sentence again. The raid does not appear to have been accompanied by shocking images of violence like some five others this year, but that is the only positive difference. What is much more disturbing is that the action appears to have been with the cooperation of the police and was essentially given glowing coverage on the national television news broadcast. Bondar, again, a member of Combat 14 and the head of the, quote, Kiev Municipal Watch, Bondar posted a video on his Facebook page. Note that, because we're going to come back to Facebook. On 24th of October, together with a caption reading in his words, "A purge of gypsies at the capital's railway station," unquote. He later began backtracking, claiming that they had not driven anybody away, but that they had simply posted videos, quote, "with gypsies who rob people," unquote, as their, quote, "ethnic trait," unquote, and that the police, to their amazement, had done it themselves. It is worth noting that the above language and worse are used extensively by Bondar and other Combat 14 activists. This is just one of the reasons for concern at indications that these far-right vigilantes appear to be working closely with the police. Well, they have been officially established as having police functions. The deputy interior minister, a guy named Vadim Troyan, was the former deputy commander of the Nazi Azov battalion and was at one point head of the national police, so this should not come as a surprise. Bear in mind that the official salute of the UPA is now the official salute of the Ukrainian police, as well as of the U.S. financed, armed, and trained, at least in part, Ukrainian army. Continuing. It is worth noting that the above language and words are used extensively by Bondar and other Combat 14 activists. This is just one of the reasons for concern and indications that these far-right vigilantes appear to be working closely with the police. That is certainly the impression given by the PSN.UA news broadcast of October 24th, which Bondar proudly posted on his Facebook page. It is small wonder that he was pleased, since the presenter of the feature virtually parrots parts of the C-14 video, with only two Roma people driven out shown in the negative light. There is one telling detail, namely that the television program is careful not to ethnically label the people driven out, with the feature entitled only "Police and Civic Activists Tried to Clean the Capitol's Station of Thieves," unquote. It does, however, show the activists wearing camouflage gear and chevrons clearly showing the Combat 14 symbol, and little effort would be required to find out how Combat 14 presents its vigilante activities and why this organization has gained notoriety over recent months. Again, no surprise. Now, note that Serhiy Bondar of Combat 14 and the Kiev Municipal Watch, again, which are now using the old UPA salute, "Glory to Ukraine, glory to heroes," he was able to post this on Facebook. Now, we have heard a lot of bloviating about how various types of, quote, populist, unquote, incitement will not be allowed on social media. Facebook has purged, quote, pro-Russian, unquote, sites, many of which simply appear to be progressive sites and individuals who are telling the truth. However, let us just say that Gruppenführer Zuckerberg's political vision might be said to be blind in the right eye. And again, that should come as no surprise. One of the initial capitalizers of Facebook, in addition to the CIA's venture capital fund, was Peter Thiel, a top advisor to Trump, one of whose key political referential points is Carl Schmitt, the head of the Conservative Revolution and arguably the Third Reich's top legal theoretician. And he is a major stockholder in Facebook at one time their largest stockholder, and he is on the board of directors of Facebook and is the head of Palantir, basically the top dog at Palantir. Now note how selective Facebook is. This again from the Jewish Telegraph Agency of April 23rd of 2018. Not a word from Israel, not a word from American Jews. This is by Canaan, C-N-A-A-N, Lipschitz, L-I-P-S-H-S-H-I-Z. Ukrainian teacher allegedly praises Hitler, performs Nazi salute with students. A public school teacher in Ukraine allegedly posted birthday greetings to Adolf Hitler on Facebook and taught her students the Nazi salute. Marjana Marjana Batyuk, B-A-T-J-U-K, who teaches at a school in Lviv and also is a councilwoman, posted her greeting on April 20th, the Nazi leader's birthday. Edward Belinsky, about whom we will hear more below, director of the Ukrainian Jewish Committee, told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. He called the incident a scandal. Batyuk also took some of her students to meet far-right activists who over the weekend marched on the city's streets while wearing the uniform of the 14th Waffen Grenadier Division of the SS, an elite Nazi unit with many ethnic Ukrainians, also known as the 1st Galician Division. Displaying Nazi imagery is illegal in Ukraine, but Belinsky said law enforcement authorities allowed the activists to parade on main streets. Batyuk said the activists explained about their replica weapons, which they paraded ahead of a larger event in honor of the 1st Galician Unit planned for the next week in Lvov. The events honoring the 1st Galician SS Unit in Lvov are not organized by municipal authorities. They are tolerated. However, Shukevich Fest is organized by the municipal authorities. Bafyuk 28, a member of the far-right Svoboda Party and also a member of the city council, I would add, called Hitler, quote, a great man, unquote, and quoted from his book Mein Kampf, unquote, in her Facebook post. Belinsky said, she later claimed that her Facebook account was hacked and deleted the post, but the Strana news site found that she had a history of posting Nazi imagery on social networks. And skipping down, Facebook didn't do anything about that. She eventually deleted some of it. They did, however, do something about Edward Belinsky's Facebook page when he posted pictures of various manifestations of fascism and Nazism in Ukraine. From the Jerusalem Post of August 21st of 2018, article by Seth J. Frantzman, Frantzmann, Jewish activist, Facebook banned me for posting anti-Semitic graffiti, unquote. Edward Belinsky, a prominent Ukrainian Jewish activist, was banned from posting on Facebook Monday night for a post about anti-Semitic graffiti in Odessa. Belinsky, the director of the Ukrainian Jewish Committee, said he was blocked by the social media giant for posting a photo. Quote, I had posted the photo which says in Ukrainian, kill the Yid, about a month ago, he says. I used my Facebook account for distributing information about anti-Semitic incidents and hate speech and hate crimes in Ukraine. Now, Belinsky's account has disabled him from posting for 30 days, which means media, law enforcement, and the local community who rely on his social media posts will receive no updates. Belinsky tweeted Monday that his account had been blocked and sent the Jerusalem Post a screenshot of the image he posted, which shows a badly drawn swastika and Ukrainian writing. Quote, you recently posted something that violates Facebook policies, so you're temporarily blocked from using this feature. Facebook informs him when he logs in. The block will be active for 29 days and 17 hours. Skipping down. He says that some locals are trying to silence him because he is critical of the way Ukraine has commemorated historical nationalist figures, quote, which is actually denying the Holocaust and trying to whitewash the actions of nationalists during the Second World War. And, I guess it pretty much speaks for itself. Suffice it to say that Lvov City Councilwoman and Svoboda Party member Marjana Batyuk did not have her more or less openly Nazi Facebook page deleted, but when Edward Belinsky, the head of the Ukrainian Jewish Committee, posted pictures of anti-Semitic graffiti on his Facebook page, it got deleted for some 30 days. I guess you could say walking the snake on Facebook, or as I've talked about in For the Record 1021, one might term that Faskus book, named after the Faskus, the bundle of sticks with an axe head that was the symbol of the Roman Republic and from which the word fascism is derived. And again, one of the things that I think is so significant and really in light of what we have seen coming from Facebook, this is not surprising. There used to be a Spitfire Facebook page that was set up by an old webmaster. I have never used it because, frankly, I just really cannot bear to. It was done without my knowledge, and I just never could bring myself to use it. That got deleted, and really I can't say as I'm all that sorry about that because basically Facebook is walking the snake. And what is most remarkable about all of this is the silence and, in many cases, the acquiescence of other media voices that should be protesting. This concludes For the Record Program number 1030, Walking the Snake from Ukraine to the U.S. and around the world. This is being recorded on October 30th of the year 2018. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.